Good morning, everyone. So the Bible reading this morning is going to be Matthew 7, verses 13 to 29. And the context for the passage is this is the last section of the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is bringing it all together. And first, before we begin, I'll say a quick prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can gather here in fellowship, that you have, in your kindness at this time, helped us remain COVID-free and opened up churches again so that we can once more meet face-to-face as well as online. We thank you, Lord, as a community that we have the privilege of being able to meet together in front of your written word, which is also your living word. And it changes us. We pray, Lord, that today we will hear from you in our hearts and minds and be transformed. And we will go on from this place to be salt and light in this world. Amen. Cool. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you, and always good to be visiting you from Springfield. this fella on the screen here is a guy named Robert Frost. He was a famous American poet, and in 1915, he wrote this poem for a friend as a bit of a joke, but people ended up taking it really serious, and it became really popular, and now it's become this timeless piece of American literature. I don't know if you've heard it before. The poem is called The Road Not Taken, and so I just want you to imagine it with me. You're walking through a forest, and suddenly you come to this kind of fork in the road, and so you have a choice to make. Which path do you take? Now, you could take the path that's well trod, lots of people go that way, or you could choose to pave your own way. Robert Frost's poem is meant to picture the life choices that we make and the struggle to make decisions that really matter. And look, you might have never read the poem before, but maybe you have heard his last few lines, which have become the most famous of the whole lot. Listen to these last words. He says, "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by. And that has made all the difference." Now, remember, Robert Frost always said this poem was actually a joke. He says it's about his good friend who's always so indecisive and always second-guessing the decisions he made. And so lots of people have actually debated what this poem really means. But one thing that's clear, the poem reminds you how your life is filled with choices. There's big choices you make, there's little choices, and sometimes seemingly ordinary and everyday decisions that actually do matter. And that's what Jesus is reminding us today. In these closing words, in this Sermon on the Mount, if you've been with us for these bunch of weeks, we're hearing Jesus speak about choices you make that really matter. Because no matter your stage of life or perhaps what season you're in or whether you face decisions big or small, the most important decision you make is the decision about who you are and the kind of person you're becoming as you follow Jesus. And so today we're hearing Jesus give us three choices that really matter. There's the road you walk, there's the fruit you bear, and there's the house you build. The road you walk, the fruit you bear, and the house you build. Three choices in life that really make a difference. And so let's have a look together. Here's the first choice Jesus talks about, which is the road you walk. And you notice straight up, Jesus gives us these two paths set before us. And it's like this fork in the road, and you need to choose. Just like with Robert Frost's poem, this is a picture of your life and where your life is going. Because Jesus says there's an easy road, but it leads to death. And there's a hard road, and it leads to life. And so if you want to have life, Jesus says there's no other option. You need to choose the hard road. Look with me in verse 14. He says, "But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, while the first road is wide and open and looks so inviting, this one is small and narrow. And you know, literally Jesus says here, "Small is the gate and constricted is the road." Like, constricted is the word for life in a hard place. It's where you feel squeezed and pressed and crushed. Now, Jesus says this is what the narrow road feels like. You feel constricted. You know, it will squeeze you and press you. And, you know, in any language, they're words that sound like death, right? That's literally what it means to be constricted. Like, life needs space. You know, when you breathe in and you feel your chest expand and your lungs fill up with air, you need that space. You need air, and you need room to breathe to survive. And so it sounds quite strange when Jesus comes along and he starts talking about this road to life, but Jesus says straight up, if you want this life, first you come and die. So there's a road to death that looks like living, and there's a road to life that feels like dying. All right, that sounds strange. Like, that's a weird thing for Jesus to be saying. And what's Jesus talking about here? There's this old German pastor, a fellow named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was writing in 1937, and I think he summed it up perfectly. He says, every command of Jesus is a call to die. When Christ calls you, he bids you come and die. He's saying, if you choose to listen to Jesus and follow him and obey him, and if you'll do anything Jesus has been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, then there is a death you die every day. It's a dying to your self-rule and your self-will and your selfish self. It's a dying to that inner self that we all have that's ruled by sin. And there is no other way to be following Jesus. This is the journey of the Christian life. This isn't just the beginning. This is the sum total of the Christian life. Every day there is a dying you die. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it feels like death. But it's also so good because this is the road to life. And because when you walk this path, you will be being who you're made to be and being who you are in Christ. And so Jesus is talking about the Christian life, and it really is about life and it's about real living. But first, there's a call to die. That's the narrow road, and it's hard. But there's also a call to come and live again. And that's where Jesus takes us next. This is the second choice. Look with me. Verse 15, he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You know, Jesus is talking about people who pretend to be one thing, but inside they're another. They appear to be one thing, but what they seem is not what they are. You know, just like there's a road that looks good, but it leads to destruction, there are people who look good, but their lives bring death. And so Jesus says, watch out for them. And so who are these people to watch out for? Well, they're not who you might think. Because if you jump forward to verses 21 and 23, Jesus talks about them and he describes them in three ways. First, in verse 21, Jesus says they call Jesus Lord. They believe in Jesus. Second, in verse 22, they do things in Jesus' name. And third, in verse 23, they have amazing gifts. They prophesy, they cast out demons, they might even work miracles. And so Jesus is saying, watch out for these people. They look like Christians. They confess Jesus, they do life-changing ministry, and yet Jesus says, watch out for them. Why? What's he saying? He's saying, you know, we all tend to think that it's what's outside that matters most. You might see people on TV or ads or whatever, and you think they're the ones who have it made. They're the ones who've got life sorted, and wouldn't it be great to just live in their shoes just for one day? They seem to have it all together. But Jesus comes along and he says, you don't know what goes on inside a person. And it's what's inside that God sees and that matters most to God. And so it's possible, even in church, to see people who look the part, they do life-changing ministry, they seem to have great spiritual gifts, but they lack spiritual fruit. That's what Jesus says there in verse 16. By their fruit, you will recognize them. See, he's warning, you know, you can seem to have all the spiritual gifts, but that's not the same as spiritual fruit. You know, spiritual gifts are the things that you do, but spiritual fruit is what you are. It's love and joy and peace and patience and self-control. It's the person you're becoming from the inside out, which is everything Jesus has been talking about all through the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't matter how gifted you are or someone is, how successful they are, or even if they do amazing ministry. What God cares about is your character and an integrity between your heart and your life. And so this is Jesus' warning. Listen in verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So here's the warning. Be careful you don't become someone so busy with religious activity that you become lacking in real spiritual fruit. Now he says there are people who will be busy and active doing religious things, and to them Jesus will say, "I never knew you." I remember when I was 15 years old and I was a brand new Christian. One day a friend comes to me and he tells me this is his favourite Bible verse. Like in the whole of Scripture, in the whole Bible story, this one, Matthew 7:21, is his favourite. And for the life of me, I could not understand why, because I remember this being a new Christian and reading this and just feeling actually quite scared. And I remember thinking, am I really saved through Christ alone? And is it really about trusting him, or is it something else? And so I do want to be careful what I'm saying here, because I don't want you to hear Jesus saying, you know, if you want to enter heaven, then you need to shape up and you need to get your act together, and you might see these religious people doing these religious things, but not even that is enough and you need to do even more. You know, I don't want you hearing Jesus saying that. That's actually the opposite of what Jesus is saying. But Jesus is speaking this word straight to our hearts about this danger we all face, because he knows how easy it is to be occupied with life and how we get busy with so many things and so many external things. Being a disciple of Jesus isn't about your religious activity. It's about your character, and it's about your heart, and a heart that's rested in Christ and trusting him, and so then an integrity between your heart and your life. That's what God wants most from you. That's what God longs to see in your life. And so that's the question Jesus is raising. Are you paying attention to your heart? That's where spiritual fruit comes from. It's the outflow of your heart. It's the produce of someone who has their roots in Christ. That's where the life comes from. Now, is that you, and is that the life you seek to live? See, this isn't about your performance. It's about your complete dependence on Jesus, nothing else. It's not about your rule keeping, but a wholehearted devotion and reliance on the grace of Christ. Now, is Jesus the one you seek the most? Do you have deep roots in Jesus? And is he the foundation of your life? See, this is the third choice that Jesus speaks about. Listen from verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And now listen to this. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them to practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. See, Jesus is asking you to think about your inner life like the foundations of a house. And so from the outside, things might look fine, but Jesus is saying it's what's beneath that matters most, and it's the foundations of the house that betray the real difference. And so Jesus says the storms will come, and just like the storms reveal the character of a house, the storms of life will reveal the character of a person. They will show what is the true foundation of your life. You know, I remember years ago, my wife and I went camping down New South Wales, down at Iluka, this little place right on the beach, right at the edge of the coast. And we went down there, and back then all we had was this really piddly little tent. We used to just take it with us everywhere we go. And one day we're camping and the locals are telling us there's this big storm coming. And we're kind of thinking, well, there's not much we can do anyway. Like, we've got a tent, we'll see what happens. And meanwhile, everyone else around us had these really fancy, expensive caravans. They looked like rock solid, you know, nice looking steel frames and all of that kind of thing. And we figured, well, they'll be fine, we'll just look after ourselves. And so that afternoon, this storm sweeps through, and the wind, it was just so fierce, our tent didn't stand a chance, it was gone. But my wife and I were just holding on to the poles of our gazebo because, like, if we let go, the thing was going to blow away. And actually, at some point, I was worried that Bloss was going to get just caught up and she'd be gone down the road. And so it was quite an experience. And in the end, we weren't even the ones who fared the worst. Yeah, we had this wet, soaking tent. It was horrible. But, you know, all these people around us with their fancy caravans, the wind was so fierce, it like ripped the awnings right off. And in the end, this campsite is littered with bits of metal and just bits of caravan. And it looked like a hurricane just swept through the whole place. And so in the end, it didn't matter who you are, everyone copped the storm. You know, that's what Jesus is saying here. No one escapes the storms of life. And when those storms come, you will see what is the foundation of your life. And you will see what really matters most. See, this is why Jesus is talking about this house in the storm, because he wants you to ask, what is the foundation of my life? And when you look at your heart and that unseen part of who you are, what is it that you're building your life on? Because if there's anything that's more important to you than God, whether it's your career or your kids or whatever, then you are not safe. Because circumstances come and the storms of life come and they take away everything you hold dear. But see, here's the difference. If you're a follower of Jesus and if you're listening to his word and if you're trusting him and if you've begun to walk that narrow road that's hard and if you've experienced that death to self that makes you alive to Christ, then there is a life in you that can never be lost. It's an eternal life that comes from God as a gift from God. And so, yes, the storms of life still come, and don't we know them? And they can take away the things that you hold so close to your heart, maybe the many things that you love, maybe even your life, but when the storms of life come, even the cruel enemy of death doesn't have the power to rob you of this life that God gives. See, that's what Jesus is talking to us about. Jesus is the one who entered into death, and he experienced the fiercest of storms. He suffered and he died to pay the penalty for our sin, but he's the one who defeated death. And he came out the other end of that grave and he rose again to life. And so when you're following him, that same eternal life that is there in the heart and the person of Jesus is now in you. Death doesn't take it away. The storms of life cannot take it away. You have something that lasts forever. This is what Jesus wants us to think about today. Now, Jesus leaves us with these three choices that really matter. Now, will you walk this hard, narrow road following Jesus? Will you be a person bearing spiritual fruit? Will you pay attention to your heart and your inner self before God? And most of all, will you put your hope in Christ? Will you let him be the rock that is the foundation of your life? Will you join me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness and your unfailing kindness and grace to us. While we were sinners, you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for us. Father, we come today to give you thanks for the life that he gave, for the eternal life that he gave to us, and for your Holy Spirit now alive in our hearts, making us to be people of character and integrity and wholehearted devotion to who you are. Our Father, we ask and pray that you would grant us your wisdom to live in this world as we face the storms of life. Father, would you give us strength to cling only to Christ? Father, would you cause our hearts to be at rest in you, at rest in your presence, trusting only in Christ, our solid rock? And Father, we pray even now as we sing together, Lord, would you refresh our heart and refresh our spirits and lift our gaze to our heavenly hope and our heavenly home that awaits us? Would you cause our hearts to long for that day where we'll be finally joined with you forever, with your people in all eternity? Father, we long for that day and pray, Christ, come soon. In his name we pray. Amen.